KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinneen, and it's 9:02. Police say a 5-year-old boy in Kotzebue was mauled to death by at least one loose dog Saturday night. Kotzebue police say the boy was last seen playing in front of his family's home about 9 in the evening Saturday. Police, along with the Kotzebue search and rescue team and the fire department, searched throughout the night for the child. The boy's body was found shortly after 4 in the morning Sunday in a field. Police Sergeant David Robert says the police department caught several loose dogs in the area. One is believed to have been involved in the boy's death. The Alaska State Medical Examiner's Office will conduct an autopsy. And Alaska State Troopers say a man in the community of Tununuk has been charged in the shooting death of his 2-year-old son. 24-year-old Edward Moses has been arrested on a murder charge. Troopers first responded to the community early Friday morning after receiving a child death report. Troopers spokesperson Megan Peters says she did not have any further information on the circumstances of the case Saturday afternoon. And Senator Mark Begich held a town hall meeting in Nome this past Saturday. He began the meeting by talking about the Arctic, the Bering Sea, the market, and how the Washington, D.C. is a world of its own, and how meeting directly with people in towns throughout Alaska is what keeps him grounded. He also spoke about his position on Syria. He said the United States has gone through nearly 15 years of war in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Thousands of Americans and Alaskans have been lost in those wars, and many coming back physically or mentally disabled in some form or another. I was mayor, and as a U.S. senator, I've been to too many funerals, I've seen too many families, and both situations that have been incurred by these individuals for these two wars. And I just didn't think we could do this again in such short order. And when the real threat in that region is really Iran and what they're up to.
Regarding public comments and questions, there was no one single issue that was brought up or discussed. Issues varied. He heard concerns regarding tribal courts, the Indian Child Welfare Act, issues with the post office, and the recent Alaska Airlines schedule change, the need for alcohol treatment program support, and concerns about the governing structures with community development quota groups like NSCDC. Senator Begich responded to each and every comment, concern, and question brought up at Old St. Joe's. Josie Garney from Teller told Senator Begich that the needs in Teller are immediate, and the community often gets overlooked.
Whenever it comes to projects from the state or from the government, nothing ever gets approved year after year. But what we do in our homes is we all have a 5-gallon bucket, the honey bucket with the trash bag. When it's full or at the end of the day, you tie it up, you put it outside of your house and they take it. And somebody years ago built our landfill at the top of this hill, 5 miles out of town, and it drains right into our only clean water source, the creek.
Garney said the Honey Bucket Lagoon has been overfilled for 10 years. Senator Begich responded, saying water and sewer project money directed from the federal government comes from, interestingly, the Farm Bill. The bill is currently stuck in the House. If it passes, the state of Alaska will get more funding. Begich says water and sewer is fundamental.
For the description you just gave me, why they haven't acted for a state as rich as we are, where the resources come from rural Alaska, and they exploit those resources for the betterment of who knows what, is outrageous. So I'm with you on this. So I'll join Johnny Olson, I'll join Representative Foster, and we'll beat on a few people. I'm happy to do that.
Senator Begich said his staff welcomes comments and concerns at his office anytime. Immediately after the town hall meeting, Begich departed Nome straight back to Washington, D.C., where the Senate will discuss the budget. The senator held a listening session regarding the Magnuson-Stevens Act Saturday afternoon. The MSA is set to expire at the end of the year, but will be extended for what he expects small-scale revisions. Tune in tomorrow to hear regional concerns brought up regarding the primary law that governs commercial fisheries in the United States. October 1st is the next big date for the Affordable Care Act. That's the day open enrollment in the federally created marketplace starts, running all the way through March 31st, 2014. What does this mean for Alaskans? The short answer is, it depends. By next year, all Alaskans are required to have health insurance or else pay a tax penalty of about $95, which could go up to almost $700 by 2016. But as Roel Helgeson, CEO of the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, explains, those who are already on insurance plans will remain covered.
If people have health coverage, especially if somebody has coverage through their employer, if they have Medicare, they have Medicaid or Denali Kid Care, maybe they're eligible for veterans benefits through either the Veterans Healthcare Program, TRICARE, VA Civilian Health and Medical Program. Nothing will be changed for people who have that access to services.
Alaska Native peoples are exempt from the individual mandate for coverage under the long-standing trust agreement between Native corporations and the state. However, those entitled to exemptions must apply through the state marketplace, which will be accessible online after the first of next month. For Alaskans not already covered by insurance, the state marketplace will be like a store for comparing the price and value of different health care plans. Two insurance providers, Primera and Moda, will be offering plans with reduced premiums for individuals making below $57,000 a year. Helgeson says the biggest challenge to implementing the Affordable Care Act in regions as remote as Western Alaska is getting the word out. The Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium has a grant to send assisters to help regional health care providers with the new policies.
What ANTHC is doing is assisting our tribal health organizations across the state. We hope to use this Navigator grant to train assisters, whether they're navigators or the application counselors. Well, there's also 24 different health centers across the state of Alaska that receive funding to assist with the outreach and enrollment efforts. When ANTHC travels to our rural regions, we hope to partner with each one of our organizations to help spread the word.
For more information on how the start of the open enrollment period will affect your coverage policy, Alaskans are encouraged to call 1-800-318-2596 or visit www.healthcare.gov. And from the Nome Chamber of Commerce, the North Pacific Research Board is having their board meetings in Nome this week. They're having an informal meet and greet reception at Old St. Joe's on Wednesday from 5 to 6:30 in the evening. All are welcome. John Hilsinger, NPRB's interim executive director, as well as Eric Olson, the board chair, will make brief statements about NPRB and their recent activities and upcoming funding opportunities. Community members will have an opportunity to chat with the board members and staff. A couple of scientists are also doing presentations for some of the students at our schools. The price of gold in New York down $11.40 an ounce to $1,317.50. An ounce of silver at $22.08 down 29 cents. It's unofficially 40 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock.